Hello, Connected Parents, and welcome to another episode of Connected Parenting. In this episode, I'm going to talk about listening. So I get asked about this a lot. Why won't my kids listen? Why do I have to say things 50,000 times before my kids listen? So I'm going to talk about why, and then we're going to talk about what you can do. I'm going to load this episode up with lots of tips and tricks to help you. And what we're really talking about in today's episode is how to get kids to listen, but really how to get them to make good choices and how to develop healthy compliance in them.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer Caleri. I'm a child and family therapist and a parenting coach and the founder of Connected Parenting. And welcome to the Connected Parenting Weekly Podcast. Join me every week and we'll tackle everything from temper tantrums to bedtime to sibling issues to teenage angst. Parenting can be so wonderful, but it can be so hard. Parents often say to me, "Hey, can you just come live at my house? This is the next best thing. Let's do this together."
Okay, so let's start with expectations. This really has to be first. I know we're busy. We've got a million things to do. We're sort of holding a whole queue of things in our brain that we have to do next. We have this expectation that because we're the parent, because we're the adult, that our kids listen. And the truth is, they don't think that way. They're in the moment. They're looking at their toys, or if they're a teenager, they're thinking about their hair or their makeup or what's on their phone. They are in a different world. They are in many ways outside of time, and we exist inside of time. And that causes a rift in many cases. And we have this expectation that they're just going to listen to us because we've said so. And then when they don't, which they often don't, I mean, I guess there are rare kids in the world who do, but the majority of kids don't listen. And sometimes they don't listen because they don't want to. And they figure you'll yell when you really mean it. Or, yeah, I'll do it. But they're sort of absorbed in sort of time blindness, which is really common with kids, especially if your child has ADHD. They're in the moment. They're absorbed in what they're doing. They have a little space in their mind for, yeah, I'll do it. They think they're going to do it when they say yes, but their mind just takes them somewhere else. And then before they know it, they've forgotten to do it. So there's a lot happening in a child's brain. So if you have the expectation that they're going to listen to you right away, you're going to end up very, very frustrated. So I would say step one is to really adjust your expectations. That's really important. And just, it's normal. It's frustrating. It is part of it. But having the expectation that, you know, they're misbehaving by not listening right away, you're going to be very frustrated because most kids really don't. All right. Second thing that's really important is brain function. So I've talked about this in a lot of different episodes, and I talk about this in my book. I talk about it in my online course. We like to think of ourselves as parents, but we're not parents. We're actually substitute frontal lobes. So our job, this is why we're better at being in time. This is why we're better at knowing what we have to do next. And we have a whole queue of things set up that we know we have to follow in some kind of order. That's higher order executive functioning. That's pretty complicated for a brain. And kids' brains can't do that. I mean, they don't really have a fully functional frontal lobe until 18, maybe. It starts to come on that line at 16, but you'll really see big changes in your child when they're about 19. Every year that they get older, it gets better and they become more capable, but really you are the substitute frontal lobe. So your job is to organize, prioritize, motivate, switch attention, take perspective, all of those things. And you have to do that for your child while their brain is growing and until they have a frontal lobe of their own. So that kind of links into the first thing I was talking about around expectation. If you just understand that this is a brain function and they are not dawdling around or not listening because they're rude or they don't love you or they're not going to listen to anybody when they're older, that's how the child's brain works. And our brain has to carry a lot of those kind of executive functioning activities and principles for them. And we're doing that as a substitute for them as they're growing up. So that really helps with expectation. It also helps you understand they're not being rude. It's a brain function. You are providing the guidance. You are providing the direction and they're following. And that's a really important thing. Okay, third thing, how we talk to our kids. So if we're really being honest with ourselves, we often talk to our kids in ways that we would freak out if our partner or husband and our wife spoke to us this way. We would be absolutely beside ourselves. That's not how you do the dishwasher. It's like this. And how many times do I have to tell you that? We would absolutely lose it. So why is it different for kids? Why is it different for teenagers? Why is it different for little kids? We think because they're younger, They don't feel the same. It feels the same whether you're 4 or 44. If you're spoken to that way, it will light up the part of the brain that gets defensive, that goes into fight or flight. Many kids will just push back if they're gladiators, which are kind of our specialty kids that we work with here at Connected Parenting that have that sort of sassy, powerful counter will. They will absolutely hit the brakes. So really think about, what is our tone? What's our intention? How do we sound? Is it coming from a place of fear? Would we want to listen to anyone if we were spoken to that way? Really kind of grounding ourselves and centering ourselves in how we're speaking to our children. And I know it's frustrating and you can always go back and repair. So when you blow it, and you will, we all do, just go back and say, hey, you know what? I didn't love how I asked you that. I'm going to ask you a different way, and watch their face. Watch what happens to them. Watch what happens between you. It's pretty amazing. And sometimes that little spark, that just little connection will make them go, okay. And then they'll go and do it. So really think about how you are speaking to your child, what tone you are using, and what words you're choosing. All right. The next thing that's really important is connect before you correct. Take a second and just make a little connection, or soften the way that you're going to ask something. Just take a minute before you ask and say, oh, what are you doing? Oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, you're probably not going to love what I'm going to ask you because you're having so much fun doing that. But like, just try this little smooth way of connecting first. Connect before correct. This is actually really important for gladiator kids that have ADHD. And what you're doing in that moment where you're just paying a little attention to what they're doing first, or you're noticing something, or you're caring about what they're doing, you're having a little moment where oxytocin, opiates, natural endorphins, just little reward chemicals that feel good and bathe the, you know, every cell in the body in these lovely kind of reward chemicals, which will actually help move their brain forward. So when you do ask them to do something, they're going to be more likely to do it. If they're in the middle of coloring or putting on their makeup or doing whatever, and you're like, could you please unload the dishwasher? I've asked you 3 times. There's going to be a little pushback there. Even if you're absolutely right in asking them that, and you've asked them that already a bunch of times, in that moment, you're not going to get the compliance that you're looking for. And if you were them, you probably wouldn't either, right? So just take a second to go, oh, wait a second, I was going to ask you to do the dishwasher, but I love the way you're doing your eyes there. Wow, that's beautiful. Or, oh my gosh, look at your coloring. Or, oh, is that you? You're on that level of your video game? Wow, that's pretty impressive. Like, just take a second and connect. That little movement, that little motion will help kind of propel that person or your child into a moment of healthy compliance. Well, I felt good. Dad made me feel good. Mom made me feel good. Okay, I can pass this along. I can keep this going. And you'll see that will help a lot if you can do that. That alone is huge. Okay, this next one is also huge. Windows. Don't ask your child to do something and expect and stand over them and expect them to do it immediately. They're not going to. You know, most kids will like, what are you doing? Or because you're waiting there watching them to do it, they're going to have a little bit of resistance that might not be there normally. This will be especially true for kids with ADHD. This is very true for gifted kids. And it's true for like sassy gladiator kids who have that really powerful counter will. Connect first, ask them to do it, and then say, I believe in you. I trust you. I'm going to give you 15 minutes to do that. Or before 9 o'clock tonight, could you take the garbage out? Or however you ask them, give them a window of time to do it. You can give them a little reminder before, but don't add I asked you this an hour ago, your window's almost up. Not like that. Just say, hey, reminding you that you were going to do this before 8 o'clock. Give them that window of time. That can make a huge, huge difference in developing healthy compliance. All right. The next part is related to that. So sort of get out of the way, right? So once you've asked, don't stand there. And you know, don't remind them why this is important, or remind them of all the things you do for them. Just give them their window and then get out of there. Just move out of the way. Act like they're going to do it and don't stand over them. Give them that space. Walk away, and especially if after you've connected and had a little moment, or you've made a little joke and then you give them the window and then you get out of the way, they're going to be much more likely to go, yeah, I think I'll do it. So get out of there. Don't stand over them. Don't hover. The next piece is really important. It's thinking about the words that you choose. Sometimes the way that you ask really has sort of resistance built into it. So then it's instead of saying, you know, please go empty the dishwasher, say, would you be able to unload the dishwasher? Or it would really help me if you would unload the dishwasher. Or I know you're really busy, but it would mean a lot to me, or it would make it so much easier for me if you would unload the dishwasher. And again, keep the windows in mind, but just changing the language a tiny bit can really help with kids who have that sort of, you know, absolute, you know, demand resistance. Just the way you ask can make a huge difference. And think about also how you like to be asked. Like when people ask you to do something, what makes you actually want to do it when they ask? So would you be able to? I'd really love it if you would. You know, a lot of parents say, oh, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to do that. And the truth is you don't have time not to, because if you don't do it, they're going to argue with you. You're going to get in a big fight, end up doing it yourself, or the whole night's shot. And I realize that it's energy, but sometimes putting that energy in, you're front loading that energy, right? You're putting that energy in the beginning so that the rest of that task or the rest of that episode or the rest of that evening goes so much better. And often parents will say, that's ridiculous. I should be able to just ask my child, but you know, the world has really changed. Our expectations of how we treat each other has really changed. That kind of hierarchy between parents and kids has really changed. And the truth is, you don't want your kids to just blindly comply. You don't want them to have unhealthy compliance. You don't want them to listen to any adult just because someone in authority said it. You actually want them to be discerning. You actually want them to go, wait a minute, that request isn't sitting with me. That doesn't seem right. I'm going to go check that out with my mom, or I'm going to ask my dad about that. We don't want to raise robots. We want children to have healthy compliance. So really challenge some of that thinking. It'll make a huge difference in terms of that flow in your family and getting your kids to kind of comply for the right reasons. Okay, incentives. Incentives can be really helpful. I mean, you can use charts. You can use, you know, I used to suggest to families that they get like a little mason jar and put like little fairy lights in there, and you can have little colored stones. And every time, this is for little kids, obviously, you know, every time they comply, they can go get a stone and drop it in the jar. And at the end of the week, you can have a little ceremony and light it up. That can be a really fun way to do it. Allowance, you can have a bonus in the allowance if you give your kids allowance. You know, I used to do a little thing with Olivia when she was little. We'd go get colored elastics, like hair elastics. And every time she did something, you know, pretty quickly she'd wear it on her wrist. And at the end of the day, she'd have a bunch of colored bracelets on her wrist or hair elastics on her wrist. There's fun little ways that you can incentivize things. I don't want kids that to be the only reason why kids do things, but sometimes it can be really helpful in moving and adjusting and introducing new behaviors. I will tell you that all of these things have a shelf life. They last maybe 2 or 3 weeks and then it gets boring. But by then, hopefully you've got this new behavior in place and it'll sort of have a little bit of traction on its own. So you can use incentives. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't love using negative consequences. I think just using positive consequences probably works best in this particular case. Okay, the next thing is really important. So when you start having a little bit more compliance, or when your kids actually do comply, don't have a parade. Don't go, oh my gosh, look at you listening. Oh, that's so great. That made me feel so good. See, isn't that different? Do you see how happy mommy was? If you overdo that, you're sort of giving them a clue like, okay, I have some power here. So if I can make mommy or daddy really happy with these actions, maybe I can make them really unhappy if I don't do it. And so you really just want to be incredibly neutral. So when they do comply, just a neutral kind of, I noticed that. Thank you. That was awesome. And that often has more, kids appreciate that more. We all do, I think. And if it doesn't feel authentic, or if it's coming from a place of fear, like, oh, I really want to praise you, so you do this again because it was so much better. It just doesn't have the right feel. So just think about having a really neutral, loving, almost lovingly detached response to things. That usually works best. All right, hopefully that's helpful. Start pulling some of these things and start noticing when you don't do it, what happens, and when you do these things, what happens. Often it's about having different tools that you play around with and use at different times. And the truth is, you really want your kids to be listening because it's the right thing to do. because they're in their integrity when they do. So you can talk about that with them. You know, sometimes it's helpful to have conversations way before you ask them to do something or way after you ask them to do with, you know, to do something. Often when you're in the moment, you're not going to do your best parenting, but you know, that night at bedtime, we can say that did not go well when I asked you to clean up your room or whatever task you asked them to do, or get in the car when it was time. What went on there? What happened? What really went on? You can sort of do lots of planning and discussing and setting intentions, you know, way after the fact. We don't really do our best parenting in the moment. So hopefully this is helpful. Remember that, you know, parenting is a journey. Trust the journey. There'll be lots of moments that go well. There'll be moments that don't go well. Try these different things, though. They should help. And if you want more guidance and information, we've got all kinds of stuff for you on connectedparenting.com. Our website is full of resources. We've got a whole team of therapists, connected parenting coaches and therapists who can help you on your connected parenting journey. We have lots of online courses. I'm really building that library so you have, you know, incredible online resources to help you on your journey. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of Connected Parenting.